in Joshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you get there, shout amen.
Amen.
Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is so very welcome here. And so, Father, I yield myself to him to be used by him, that he may speak through me here this morning, that he may speak through me freely, use me freely for your glory. And Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and have a heart to receive. And we give you the glory for it and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Also, I didn't say this, but I welcome those that are watching live stream with us this morning as well, or whatever time it is that you're watching. In the book of Joshua, I want to read a verse to you, and it's a very familiar verse for I think most of you or many of you. It's verse 8. Joshua, the first chapter, and the 8th verse. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord spoke this to Joshua. And he said many other things to him. But I want to focus on the 8th verse here today. Don't know if I'll finish, but we'll certainly get started. I want you to notice something. I want you to notice some specific things as I reread this verse. Now, we understand that the book of the law is the word of God. You understand that? Amen. Hallelujah. The book of the law is the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. There are some specific instructions to us from this verse. First of all, we're told not to let this word depart from our mouth. Now, don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean you read the word, then you close your mouth, and you never speak it again. It means just the opposite. It means just the opposite. God wants his word flowing forth from our mouth. Flowing forth from our mouths. And when we think about this, we think about confessing the Word of God for whatever our needs may be. But it's more than that. We need to share the word of God with others. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are all ministers. We're not all part of the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry being the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those five are known as the fivefold ministry, but we are all ministers of God. We are all servants of God. I'm required of God to study His Word. And I'm a minister. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. And I'm required by God to study His Word. But you may not be part of the fivefold ministry, but guess what? Just like me, you too are required to study the Word of God. Amen. And there is no limits placed on your study. There's no limits placed on your consuming God's Word. Amen. Because we're all ministers. And when I say ministers, we've all been called to help someone else. We've all been called to speak God's word. We've all been called to voice His word to others. When you find someone hurting, downtrodden, or whatever their case may be, it's our responsibility. You don't have to be a preacher, fivefold ministry preacher, but it's our responsibility to minister to that person. And guess what? You cannot give what you do not have. You hear me? You cannot give what you do not have. So we are all to consume. We are all supposed to consume the Word of God, feed on the Word of God. And as you hear me say so often, Jesus Himself said it. In the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you still here with me this morning? So we see here in Joshua that we are not to allow the word of God, in other words, let it flow for your benefit and for the benefit of others. Amen? Amen? And now the next thing is we're told to meditate on it. We're told to meditate on it, which means to think about it, to rehearse it around in your mind, and just thinking on the Word of God. Not only that, but we are to interpretation or definition is to mutter. That word we need to speak it to ourselves. Have you ever been discouraged? You don't have to raise your hand. I know what the answer is. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been frustrated with yourself? And if we would all be honest, we would have a unanimous show of hands. But how many of you know, sometimes you just need to flat correct yourself? You need to speak words about yourself that reflects what the Bible says about you. Amen. I would never, listen to me, I would never ever call myself a loser again. And I used to have a loser's mentality because some folks told me I was a loser. Well, I know you've been there too. You've probably been at some point in time, somebody told you that you would never amount to anything, would tell you you can't do this, you can't do that, you know. And if you hear enough of that, you'll begin to believe that God don't even like you. Been there, folks. Been there. But when you go to the Word of God, you find out it's totally contrary to what man says about you. I don't know what type of family that you may have grown up in, but maybe it was a bad situation. Maybe your parents weren't there, some of you. Maybe your parents weren't available. Maybe your family was dysfunctional. Maybe you was used, abused, hung out to dry. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, it's not over. One of the best days in my life, the best times in my life, when I made a decision, are you ready for this? When I made a decision to get rid of all the excuses. Because we all have them. Well, you know, they did this to me. They said that to me. They treated me this way. Whatever may have happened to you in your life, I tell you what, when you come to Jesus, you throw away all your excuses. Throw away all your excuses. And start all over again, brand new. See, that's the reason some folks can't go forward, because they're still living in the past. They're still thinking about how they was treated. Or maybe still regretting some things that they did or some decisions that they made. I'm so glad to know that we serve a forgiving God. We serve a forgiving God. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I did, or you don't know what was done to me. I don't have to. But I do know this. When you come to Jesus Christ and give your life to Him, God separates your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Let me tell you something. Some of you know this already because you've heard me say it. You know, you can... We're in South Carolina right now. We can start out heading north. And at some point, we will reach the peak. And we'll no longer be heading north. We'll be heading south. And then when we get to the bottom of the earth, guess what? We'll be heading back north again. Think about this. You can go east or west. If you go east, you will continue to go east. If you go west, you will continue to, you always be going west. No wonder the Word of God tells us that He separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. In other words, honey, you won't find them. You can't travel far enough to find them. They done away with. They are no more. The old man dead. It's the enemy, the devil, that reminds you of your past. Do you think God the Father and Jesus seated at his right hand is carried on a conversation about how bad you used to be, the things you used to do? Absolutely not. God don't remember those things anymore. The devil does, but God does not. Can I get another amen on that? Glory to God. So what we need to do is move forward. Stop having a pity party. And don't listen to anybody that wants to talk to you about how you used to be. And when they're long gone, now you're feeling miserable. Anybody ever been there? Oh, yeah, I remember how you used to be. I remember what you used to do. Now, we ain't talking about that. That's under the blood. I'm no longer that person. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. See, these are the things we need to meditate on. These are the things that we need to think on. Hallelujah. I'm not taken up with the old man. Glory to God. I'm enjoying the new man in Christ. So when I think of his word, whatever his word says I am, that's who I am. Whatever his word says that I tells me that I can do, I can do it. Whatever his word tells me I can be, I can be that. Amen. Are you still here? Hallelujah. So you, number one, we don't want to let his instructions depart from our mouth, the word of God. And then we are to meditate on them day and night. Think on them. Rehearse it. Mutter it. Speak it. And we could go on and on. Now, there's a third one. It says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now, and I didn't give you my subject, so let me go ahead and do that now. My subject is two words: good success. Amen. Y'all write that down at the top of your page. Good success. Good success. Usually I give you my subject first. Sometimes I don't. Hallelujah. And God told Joshua, say, if you'll do these things, if you keep the word of God in your mouth, if you meditate on these things day and night, and if you will observe to do, everybody say do. Come on, say it again. If you will observe to do these things, then you will have good success. Now, if you want to have good success in the things of God, yes, you're going to have to speak the word of God. The word of God is going to need to come out of your mouth. You're going to need to meditate on the word of God. Amen? Amen. But listen to me. This is the part that people struggle with. You got to do it. Look at somebody and tell them, say, you got to do it. Amen. Now, it's easy to confess the word. It's easy to meditate the word of God. But don't leave the third one undone. You got to do it. In James, for the sake of time, put James 1:22, chapter 1, verse 22. Put it on the screen for me. I want to read it to you. James chapter 1, verse 22. Listen to what it, what it says. But be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. Because when you do that, what happens? You deceive yourself. Amen. Which means then, the word that you are hearing or the word that you read or meditate on, God requires that you do it. He requires that we do it. Make it a part of our lives and walk it out. Glory to God. Let me read that again. That's good. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, he didn't say hearing is bad. He just said not hearing only. Because when we do that, we deceive ourselves. Oh, yeah. And that's what happens too many times in churches. Well, child, you know, I went to church Sunday, and Lord, he did preach good. I tell you what, we heard some good word. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I can't wait the next Sunday for pastor to finish that, because that is so good. But my question to you is, what are you doing? Everybody say doing.
Doing.
What are you doing about what you heard already? Amen. See, God don't want us to just get fat. He wants us to exercise. What do you mean by that? I mean, we don't want to just get fat on the Word of God. Steady consuming, but not burning off any of the energy we consuming. So James says, listen, brother, listen, sister, be a doer of the word. Doer of what you hear. Because if you don't, then you're deceiving yourself. You think you're okay. Are you still here?
Amen.
Now, let me say this to you. There's three areas of success that I want to mention here. Because God has called each and every one of us to be successful. He wants us to have a successful Christian life. You believe that? God wants us to have a successful Christian walk. You were not born to be a loser. Amen. Number one, and I believe this is in the order of importance also. These are the things that we need to go after. Work hard at. Number one is spiritual success. Spiritual success. I have a question for you. I'm not looking for an answer. I want to give you something to ponder, something to think about. Amen. Matter of fact, that word meditate also means ponder. Are you ready? This is my question to you. I'm not looking for a response. I want you to think about it. Are you growing spiritually? In case you didn't hear me, I'm going to ask that question again. Are you growing spiritually? Or are you feeling stagnated? Or maybe regressing? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. We must have continual spiritual growth. Amen. That's God's will for us, that we grow spiritually, continually. Number two, physical success. Spiritual success, physical success. What do you mean by physical success? Jesus wants us well. Healing is the children's bread. By his stripes. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes we were healed. Matthew said, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. God wants us well. You hear me? God wants us well. He wants us healthy. Hallelujah. And the third one? Financial success. God's not against his people having money or having things. You know what he is against? Money having them and things having them. Now, to support this, turn to 3 John, 3rd epistle of John. I want to read you something. In the 3rd epistle of John, I'll just begin reading at verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Look at verse 2, 3 John 2. Beloved. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, 3 John 2 is for you too, and for me too. Amen. It's for us. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in some things. All things. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Say all things.
All.
Say it again.
All.
What does all mean? Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. And what?
Be in health.
Be in health, just as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. What is he saying? Brothers and sisters, I want you to prosper. I want you to prosper financially, materially, you know. I want your needs to be met. If it's cold in the wintertime, I want you to have fuel to burn or wood to burn, however you heat your house. I want your cupboard full of food. I want all your needs met for two reasons. Number one, so you can help somebody else. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. And all of us are told to give. Am I right? Yes, all of us are told to give. But in order to give, you got to have something to give. Amen. So God wants us to prosper so we can give. And then number two, God wants us to prosper so we can have our own needs met. God doesn't get any glory out of us sitting thinking, oh, dear Lord, they turned the lights out. I'm cold. I can't cook. God doesn't get any glory out of that. That's the reason we're told to bless him in all things. Because even when the devil try to make us miserable, we turn that thing around. But help will come. Help will come. But God, the word of God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. And number two, that you be healthy, that you have your health. That you have your health. Your health is important. Amen. Your health is important. And the third thing he said, even as your soul prosper. That's talking about prospering spiritually. Even as lets us know that, first of all, you need to be prospering spiritually. Amen. See, that is true success. Prospering spiritually. But in order to prosper spiritually, we got to do some things, right? I said we got to do some things. Glory to God. And like I told you, I'm not going to finish this today. I will continue, but I do want you to go to the book of Psalms with me. Matter of fact, the very first Psalm, Psalms 1. See, one of the things that I notice, and I'm sure you may have too, that the world is pulling at the church. The world is trying its best to get inside of the church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he can get the church carnal and fleshy, we become powerless. You know, you hear folk talk about, oh, I want to see a move of God. Man, I want to see healings take place. I want to see miracles take place. I want to see God raise the dead. I want to see all these things. Well, you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I do too. I said, I do too. Amen. But we got to understand something. We must put ourselves in position for that to happen. That's not going to happen in a worldly, fleshy church. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God's looking for a church that's on fire for him. I said on fire for him. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just a hearer of his word, but a doer of his word. Are you still here with me? Too many in the church have gotten worldly. Worldly. Flashy. Stubborn. Unwilling to change. If you're going to walk with God, it's all about change. It's all about change. If you're not willing to change, you ain't going very far. It's all about change. And if I'm going to be a vessel that he can use, I must be willing to change. Hallelujah. Are you still here? But now, in Psalms, the very first Psalm, hallelujah. And let me say this before I read this. There's some of you in here. I don't even know who it is, don't want to know. I don't want to know, don't have to know. Ain't none of my business. But I do know this. Some of you right in here listening to me now, and of course some out there too, listening to me now, the Spirit of the Lord's been dealing with you about change. About changing some things. And you've been fighting him on it. Change ain't always easy. Sometimes change is hard on the flesh. You hear me? It's hard on the flesh. You hear me? But the Word of God tells us to put the flesh under. The Apostle Paul, the great man of God himself, he says, I put my body under. I buffet it, keep it under. Don't you know you can preach and be fleshy? You, as a matter of fact, you can be a popular preacher and be carnal. Just because your sanctuary door, I mean, just because your sanctuary is full and they lining up outside to get in, don't mean that you're spiritual.
That's right.
Some people come to church because they just want to be entertained. Sometimes folks just overlook stuff. They know it ain't right. They just look the other way. So the Apostle Paul saying, listen, he said, I put my body under. I put my body under. What he was saying is he putting his body under subjection to his spirit. Because he said, lest I have what? Preached to others. I myself become a castaway. So just because you can preach good, sing good, just because you're articulate, doesn't mean you're pleasing God. Paul didn't want to be disqualified. So he said, I put my flesh under. In other words, what was he saying? I'm living right. I'm doing the Word of God. I'm doing the Word of God. Anybody here with me today? I'm doing the Word of God. Not just preaching it. I'm doing it. I'm living it. We're talking about having good success. We just can't take part of it and leave the other undone. We got to take it all, brothers and sisters. We got to take it all. Ooh, y'all glad y'all came to church. Psalms, first chapter, verse 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And And that ungodly don't have to be somebody from the outside. Sometimes be somebody right in your own house. I think I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Let me read it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. That's the things of God. His or her delight is in doing the things of God, learning the things of God, hearing about the things of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does what? Meditates day and night. Hallelujah. But now look at verse 3, and I'm going to close on verse 3. Look at verse 3. By doing verse 1 and verse 2, you get verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what?
Prosper.
Shall what?
Prosper.
All because he chose to do verse 1 and verse 2. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everybody say, having good success. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you can have success in life. But you got to understand, success is not a large bank account. Success is not having a big house. Ain't nothing wrong with having a large bank account. Ain't nothing wrong with having a big house. But if that's all you think success is, I'm here to tell you, you're a loser. Because you're losing spiritually, and you may be losing physically if you don't have your health. 50 million dollars ain't worth one penny if you don't have your health. So we have to understand what success really is. God wants us to have good success. He don't mind us prospering financially and materially. That's not a problem for him. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, give and it will be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with man given to your bosom. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to start preaching again. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we know your word will never, ever return to you again.